read a chapter and got done and started into the next chapter and realized that when the Bible was printed, it wasn't written in verses and chapters. A lot of people think that that's the way the Bible's always been. It hasn't. The Bible was written basically as a letter, just one page, maybe some paragraphs. But as far as chapters and verses, that was done for your benefit by some of those who were translating out of the original Greek language and the Aramaic language and the Chaldean language to help you be able to find spots in the Bible so that you could find verses that could be of help to you, so that you could find passages. And so everybody could have a common reference. That's why for a long time we used strictly the King James. It wasn't because we believed that that was something special, and it is, but we believed that that was standard, and that would everybody be on the same translation, same page. So when they translated the Bible and they wrote it out in verses and chapters, they made a mistake. Between John chapter 7, verse 53, and John chapter 8, verse 1, those two verses should be together. And some of you will have notations in your Bible that those two verses go together, and that they were not separate. And so I want to read those this morning as a beginning of our message for this morning, because this is a very important thing for you and I to think about. People in general do not do well thinking godly thoughts at Christmas time, especially when they're competing in stores for limited product, or when they're out there driving on the road thinking about anything but their driving. And so people at Christmas time don't think a lot about what we're actually doing and what this actually means. So this morning, I want to share a lot of Bible passages with you to get you thinking the way that I'm thinking this morning. And so let me read those two verses, and then we'll see where it takes us. John chapter 7, verse 53 says this, "And every man went to his own house." And then 8, verse 1 says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives." Father, as we look into your word, as we study your word to show ourselves approved, workmen which needeth not to be ashamed, help us, Father, to think about Christmas the way you want us to think about it. Help us to be thoughtful and mindful of the purpose for which we celebrate this holiday. Thank you, Father, for giving us the time to look in your word this morning. Thank you for giving us our light, that we can all see our Bibles now. Thank you for everything you're doing for us. May we understand your purpose, and then, Father, may we fulfill that purpose as individuals. And, Father, we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, God has really been good to all of us in that he has provided times in our lives when he speaks to us through his word. And that's what he did when I got to these two verses. He spoke to my heart out of his word. And I just want to share that with you this morning so that you can have an idea of maybe a different way of looking at Christmas. Sometimes he wants to use situations to make you and I more like Jesus, because that's the whole goal in life, is to be like Jesus. because one day we will be like him, but we'll be with him. So while we're here, it'd be nice if other people could see Jesus in us. And so that's what we're going for this morning. So I've opened this message with verses out of two different chapters, but they actually ought to be one and the same. Now, there's something here that this thing of dividing these two chapters at this point keep us from thinking about the fact. I want to talk about those two verses again. And every man went unto his own house. It would be appropriate to insert the word but after house. House, comma, but. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Because, folks, this Jesus we're talking about was homeless. He didn't have a home. Splitting is something that we don't see all the time, something we don't think about much. I don't think about the fact that Jesus was homeless during his ministry on earth. For 30 years, he had a family. For 30 years, he had a place to live. He grew up as a normal boy would, except for one thing, he was virgin born. And in those 30 years, he worked with his father. He served an apprenticeship as a carpenter because that's what they did in those days. Whatever the father does, the son would take up as a trade. And there have been, we'll get to it. You'll see some places where he's referred to as the carpenter's son, meaning he was a carpenter. But for 30 years, Jesus lived with his family. The last 3 years of his life, the 3 years of his ministry, he was as homeless as the men you see on the street corner with the signs, "I'll work for food" or "need help," homeless. He did not have a place to live. When the people went to their homes, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to spend the night sleeping outdoors because that was the only place he had. And we don't see that because of the division between the chapters. I think about it for a minute. Do you know anything about someone who's homeless? Christmas is a time when we think about the less fortunate people around us and we have a certain compassion on them. Christmas moves our hearts to be compassionate. Now, panhandlers take advantage of it. If you've got a cell phone, you're getting phone calls. A lot of them. And a lot of them are panhandlers, people who want you to give this, give that, or you meet them out on the street. And I told you Wednesday night about the guy at Walmart parking lot. He hit me up last year, same place, and made a mistake of telling me the same story this year, exactly the same, word for word. I guess it works. I don't know. But anyway, the panhandlers take advantage of our more tender hearts at Christmas time. Christmas is a celebration of the advent of a Savior. That's what Christmas is. It's a celebration. It is to be a celebration. It's a celebration of the advent of a Savior, not just for you and me, but for the whole world. He came to take away the sins of the entire world if they were willing to adopt the standards that God established. So think with me about what Jesus was willing to do. Jesus, the creator of the universe, who made everything, he's called the King of Kings, he's called the Lord of Lords, he was willing to leave his throne in heaven next to the Father, to permit himself to be virgin born, to grow in Mary's womb for 9 months. He was God. He created everything. Colossians tells us that he created everything. And yet, he was willing to leave his glory, his majesty, and come here and become you and me, just like us. Almost. He didn't have an earthly father like you and I have. He had the Holy Ghost for a father. And that did away with the sin nature. You and I have earthly fathers. You and I have sin natures. And it's natural. You're going to have it all your life. You were born with it. You got it from your father. But let's look at what Jesus did for you and I. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now we're going to go a little longer than 12 o'clock, so if you got something in the oven cooking till 12 o'clock, it's going to be burned. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up to get from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How could such a thing come to pass? Luke 1, 26 through 35. Luke 1, 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now God watched over everything that happened about Jesus. He watched over it to be able to make sure that everything came to pass that was supposed to. In Luke 2:52, it is the next time we see Jesus. Basically, we did see him when he was 12 years old in the temple. But in Luke 2:52, it tells us what happened during those first 30 years of his life. Luke 2:52 says, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. That means he grew up, sort of like Lori. And it says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. As the years went by, Jesus grew and learned from his stepfather about working as a carpenter, for that was the policy. In Matthew 13:56 or 55, it tells the people were talking about Jesus, and they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas?" To the world, he was just a man. You and I know he was much more. As the years went by, Jesus grew. And then in John 2, verses 1 through 11, Jesus began his ministry. He was calling his disciples. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and we read about that in John 2, verses 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith to the servants, you see how she took the rebuke. His mother saith to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith to do you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast," and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew out the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. He started his ministry. He started performing the miracles. And by this time you're probably saying, "Well, Pastor, I know all this." But let's think about the opening passage. In order that you might understand the context of this passage, we need to go back a couple of verses in John 7. John 7, verses 40 through 44. John 7, verses 40 through 44. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." See, even as he began his ministry, there was conflict. There was disputation. Jesus knew why he had come. Jesus was going to fill the will of God. And we have been reading about the things that took place. The people had no idea of who Jesus was at that point. They didn't even really know where he was born. And sometimes in churches, people hear things, and it's not the truth. That's why it's so important that Tim, as he teaches Sunday school, that as I share the gospel, the Bible with you, that we tell you the truth so that you have a correct understanding of what God has done for you, of how much God loves you. I can't imagine a Christian thinking that people don't love them when they've got brothers and sisters in Christ. That was one of the comments made last Sunday. I think Janice was the one that took it off Facebook or something. One of the people that we visited, took their cards to, Carol too, said, you know, I know my church loves me. And for almost 3 years, she's been talking about how the church doesn't love her. But God loves you. And he has loved you so much that he did all these things to make sure that Jesus was going to be able to do what he came to do. So it was after this disagreement with the people that everybody went home in verse 53 of chapter 7. And then we have verse 1 of chapter 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And we could add the words there, because he had no home. I know of several homeless folks around. There was a couple years ago, there was a young man living out here in the bus stop. There's another man living over next to Walgreens in the woods there. You see him walking all over the place. He even walks to Walmart from there. Saw him yesterday. People who have nothing. And Jesus had exactly that. Jesus had nothing but the clothes he was wearing. And we don't think about that. We celebrate his coming, but we don't think about the price that he paid for you and my sin. That price wasn't just paid on the cross. That price was paid during his lifetime. Remember, he's the Lord of Lords. And the Lord of Lords became a man for us. There was no other way that God could deal with our sin but to offer a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus came to be that sacrifice and to show you and me we don't have to sin. We don't. We sin because we choose to. And sometimes we sin because we don't think in advance of what the consequences might be. Now, let's just think about Jesus for a few minutes and then we'll close. But think about what the price was that he paid. 30 years old, a time when most men would be seeking a wife and seeking a family and seeking security. And instead of that, he had nothing. He had no home. He had no job. His job was to please God and to do what God wanted him to do, to teach men of what kind of a relationship we could have with God. When he was done at the end of a day, when he had walked from city to city and all dusty and feet dirty, he had no place to take a shower or a bath. He had to sleep that way. He had to find a place where he could sleep. Now, I'm sure that God watched over him. God had a few angels around. We know he did when he was tempted of the devil, because it tells us the angels came and ministered to him. But if you think of Jesus' life, and this is Christmas time, and that's what we're supposed to be thinking about, if you will think of Jesus' life, I only know of two people who did anything for him. One was a woman who came and washed his feet with her tears. He came to minister, not to be ministered to. And he gave us the example of what we are supposed to be. Think of all the stuff that he gave up for your and my sin. His name was above every name, and yet he had nothing. Every one of us, put your hand in your pocket, you got stuff. Look around your house, you got stuff. Jesus had no stuff. None. He did this for you and me so that you and I could have eternal life and be able to spend that eternal life with God. You know, there are occasions when Jesus did stay with other people and they fed him. But that didn't happen every day. If you think about Jesus, there were days when he went hungry. Now, we know he could have turned the stones into bread, but he didn't. We know he did feed the disciples some fish on the seashore. But for the most part, Jesus was a homeless man who loved you. Son of God. But to the world, he was just a homeless man. Now, the Arabs, I'm going to use the word superstition because that's what it is with them. They have a superstition or a policy that they will entertain a stranger because they believe that they might be entertaining an angel. What if some of these homeless folks around us were God's angels put there to see how we're going to react? Now, I didn't give that guy $10 like I did last year in the Walmart parking lot because I knew he was a con man, flim-flam artist. But as we see these people out there around us, people that appear to be homeless, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love. We're supposed to love. Now, I love this guy in the Walmart parking lot this year by telling him to go out and get a job. And he said, well, I got applications in everywhere. And I said, you can go to any fast food place on Dorchester Road, and there's plenty of them. They've got signs in the window, help wanted. And you could go to work today. That's not what he wanted. But you prayerfully pray for the people you see out there. And sometimes God's going to lay on your heart, ah, got to reach in my pocket and give him something. And maybe that's God's test of each one of us as to how much we're going to love. So as we think about Jesus this morning, let's think about all that he gave up. He gave up his kingship. He gave up his lordship. He gave up his comfort, his position in heaven for you and me. So, most of the time, Jesus was alone. And you and I know how uncomfortable that is, to be lonely. Because we experience it from time to time, even sometimes in the middle of a crowd. So as we celebrate Jesus coming as a little baby, there was so much more involved. To the world, he's still a little baby, a little infant in a manger. You see him displayed all around. In fact, he's right back there on the back table. That's how we display him at Christmas time. And that's the way the world thinks of him at Christmas time. But we know this morning he was so much more. He was just beginning his sacrifice for you and my sin. Oh, if that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes represents a way of sacrifice on behalf of us all. It took centuries for God to get everything set up so that he could come, so that he could find just the right virgin to be his mother, just the right man to be his stepfather and accept what God was doing. Galatians 4, 3 through 5, and this is a great verse, a set of verses. Even now so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This morning, folks, your sons and daughters, God the Father, through Jesus Christ. So I hope that Christmas means a little more than a lit-up tree and wreaths hanging on doors and garlands spread around. I hope you realize what Jesus was doing for you when he came to this earth and became a child in the womb of Mary. John 3:16 sums it all up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life this morning? I sure hope so. And if you don't, see me after the service, and I'll tell you how you can have it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, for loving us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and live and die for us. Father, may we live and die for him. Use us to accomplish your purpose and your will. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with